Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street, New Africa Business Association, coming to you live from Washington, D.C. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Greetings, Brother Bilal. Assalamu alaikum to the audience and everyone.
Walaikum salam, Brother Aziz. How are you doing this evening?
Pretty good, brother. Good, pretty good.
Good.
Doing good. Looking forward to a good show tonight.
All right. Looking forward to having a show tonight. And of course, Brother Aziz, we're going to continue to talk about the power of the black dollar and investing in our own black communities, and also looking to the possibility of doing business and having possibility dual citizenships in the motherland, Africa. So it should be an interesting show, in the least. Again, it should be a good show in the least, just because of our titles and the possibilities of and the possibilities that we have. That I would say the first time in our history that we have these possibilities and we're considering these possibilities. And so, like I said, this is a great time to start talking about black economics, because again, having us spending, excuse me, I didn't bring down any water, but having us spending, are predicted to spend in this year's fiscal spending $1.8 trillion, Brother Aziz. $1.8 trillion. That's the kind of and I'm just saying, last year's spending was $1.4 trillion, and that's consumer spending. We're not talking about the monies we put into taxation, and we're not talking about the dirty money that is unaccounted for. But nevertheless, it's dollar bills that goes through our communities and the power of the black dollars that we control. But nevertheless, we're 97% consumers. So when you consume that much monies and you don't keep any of it, you have no financial institutions to put your monies into to say, I'm saving what I'm not spending. You're about one of the best servants that a country could possibly have. And so again, thinking black economics, I would say we are way ahead of our times, because it's something that we, for hundreds of years, forgot to really think about and consider. We talked about we want more monies for social this and social that, but which we never got. But when it came to our economics, we never considered that too much for ourselves. So again, but now that we can actually look at our figures, and now we can start seeing what type of plans do we make as far as putting together business plans. You know, Brother Aziz, I've always said that one of the best investments in this country, and especially to African Americans, the best investment they can make at this time is their own black community. Everything else is over cost. It is pretty hard to say that I'm going into business and my rent is hundreds of even thousands of dollars, which means that is a part of expenses. So when it comes to your growth income could be $500,000 or $1 million. But when it comes to your net income, you may not walk away with $25,000 in net income. Why? Because of that consumer spendings, even though you are a business person. You're still paying rent or something that you don't own. Therefore, you see money's just coming in and going out. So again, if you was to own, go and start building your businesses back in the black communities where the cost is not so high, not yet, but it's coming there, but you still have that advantage as we speak, going back to your own black community and put your business back in that community, because you already know what that cost is. And that cost is not so high. And another thing, your clients, as an African-American business person, most of your clients are going to be African-Americans. Why not go right back to the community where you all live? Go back there and build your apartment buildings and become, I hate to use that word, landlord, because it sounds like it puts you with, you know, that lord person, the person who is receiving, put them in a very predominant situation. And that's the situation most of us as African Americans are in when we rent. We have that lord. And most of those lords are somebody that is not your, that don't look like you. So become your own landowner. And in that case, you can make monies by serving your communities with their needs. And believe me, when it comes to the African Americans' consumer needs, they're large, and not only large, but very expensive. African Americans like the best of everything. They don't spend. They you know, when it comes to their homes, they want the best looking house. When it comes to their cars and anything else, they want. I mean, everything about. There's nothing cheap about the African American. When it comes to consumer spendings, and whether and
right.
Anything in goods and services, if you have a good services, he'll pay you for it, and of course your goods, he'll pay you for. But bring the business back into your own communities, the communities that you migrated from in the 50s, because in the South you couldn't make money back in the 40s. And in the early parts of the 50s and all, there was no monies to be made. So you migrated to the North and started making pretty good livings. Many of us have done quite well, but many of us still live in what they call ghettos. So it's time to abandon all of that way of life. Go back and build your businesses in your own communities. And then, because that community, you can still afford. And if we're spending $1.8 trillion in just consumer spendings, brothers, we can build any kind of business and any kind of communities we want in our own black communities, and they would be beautiful communities. because of the type of monies that we have, but we must become vested. We must become financially vested with each other, just like any other community. What I mean about financially vested, one person or one small group cannot build our communities. It's going to take the entire community in order to do it. And so when it comes to, you see you have needs for houses in your communities, then why not put together an investment group where you can build hundreds and thousands of homes, become developers. This is the type of things that when I say in the African-American communities, you need to have business meetings. You need to start putting together your own business plans and ideas. And from those ideas and doing it as a community and as a group, and pooling your monies together, don't worry about going to the bank. Talking about high interest rates again, that's we're going back that landlord again. The bank becomes the person making all the money because you owe them. Stay away from that. We don't need that. Again, I'm going to go right back to what is we spent last year. See, that consumer spending, we need to control that. We need that cash flow of monies going through our communities. We cannot have that cash flow of monies going through our communities because we do not have businesses that require cash flow. There's nobody buying and trading anything in our communities. So there is no circulation of monies because of that. So we're going to open our mics up this evening. And that's what our discussion is, the power of the black dollar and how we get that cash flow going in our communities. And then, of course, we're going to be talking about those of us, and I have a big interest in it, in doing businesses in Africa and looking into dual citizenships in Africa. So brothers and sisters, that large of consumer spendings we're doing, there are many, many very rich avenues opening up to African Americans. And so a change is about to come, and it's going to be an economical change, a change that we never really looked into for some reason. We never really looked into our own economics and our own economical growth. So, Brother Aziz, I'm going to let you, as my co-host, make our comments, and then we're going to ask, though, let's make certain our other director, Sister Ali, are you with us?
I certainly am. Good evening. How's everyone doing?
Assalamu alaikum. Good evening. Assalamu alaikum.
We ain't gonna talk you to death, but this is a conversation that I know Brother Aziz and myself, and now that we have you and your others, we are very serious because I'll tell you about the trip that I know a group of young ladies from Delaware just took off for Africa, but we'll talk about it as we go along in the program. So we're going to open our mics up, but before we go to our general, Sister Ali, and she'll take it to the general audience of where she's going to take us. Brother Aziz, your comments, and we will you can bring in Sister Ali after you finish.
Yes, Brother Bilal, I'm just looking forward to our show tonight. You've covered a lot of what I was going to say already, you know, because a lot of folks don't know you. You and I talk before the show every day, and we cover some things. And I say, boy, look at the love taking off. He ain't hardly giving me room to say nothing. You know, and then he'll tell me, say, well, brother, you know how I talk in that. I say, people think I don't have nothing to say. And I say, but that's good. That's the way the show goes. But, you know, From what the show we had last week about doing business in Africa, and that I'm telling you, brother, I was so excited about that and listening to it. And Sister Shasha Ali there giving us all that information. It's like, this is what our guests need to be, our listeners, audience need to be listening to. The opportunities that that exist in Africa for us doing business. Moreover, how that dollar can stretch. And the one thing that I didn't get a chance to say on that portion of the show was one of the things we know that we must need wherever we go, as one of a brother came on early and talked about, I was trying to remember his name, the brother that Sister Sasha brought on that was over in Africa that night talking to us, that it's like any other business. You do have to have someone that's over there that's a contact or that's going to turn you on to this business to lead the way, because you just can't go over there and just pop up and want to do business and, you know, and think it's going to work like that. You got to go over there with something in mind of what you want to do perhaps, and then you find out what the people are that you can do business with before you go. You know, it's like preparation. That's one of the things I got out of that talk, and I just want to pass that on to our listeners. Whatever the business is you want to go to, before you even get ready to delve into the business, go find out what it's about. Your press, what your preparation is about. Finding out what the business is about. Get all the information that you need to know on the business, whether it's doing business here in America or doing business in Africa. And then you'll know what you're going to be confronted with or what you're going to have to do in order to do what you want to do, what type of business. So that is what I wanted to open up with our people, but telling them, you know, preparation is almost 90% of getting things done. It's like you prepare because you did your research and your study on what it was that you want to do. So that's what I wanted to open up with, Brother Bilal, and I'm going to pass it on to Sister Sasha Ali, and thank you for letting me have those open comments.
Thank you so much, Brother Bilal, Brother Aziz. Brothers, yeah, look, I'm still fired up from last week. Right? It was dynamic. And interesting enough, and the brother you were talking about, Brother Aziz, the one who was in Africa, we interviewed, his name was Craston Artist II. And interesting enough, right before I joined on tonight, the ambassador, Samson, was having a recap with the delegates that he took over there. And so I was joining in with that conversation. And just the productivity that has come out of the trip already is just abundant, right? And I want to say that I'm glad that we're bringing up the issue with the comment that you made, Brother Aziz, about, you know, preparation. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes when we share information with our people about how you should do this, how you should do that, what's missing are the steps, right? Or someone saying, hey, I've gotten the steps already for you. You just need to join on. And so that's what the ambassador has done with his company, African Diaspora Connect. When Black-owned businesses initiate a relationship with that company, everything is taken care of. They have the lawyers that are going to set up the paperwork. They have the connections of the different departments they're going to bring to the table. They have if you need real estate, they have connections of how to get that. They are, the purpose is for them to bring in African-American businesses, but to pretty much give them the a la carte or the concierge service, if you will, to get started, because they understand, hey, this is foreign territory, right? You know, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
And we have to, and we need to come together as a people and say, hey, I got you as far as helping you get on your way. Because this could be intimidating. It could be unsettling if you're not familiar with international business. But this is what I'm going to do, brothers. Hey, I'm already have my business on the ground, set in the door as far as working in on the continent. And so as the process continues, I'm going to share what I'm going through, right? I'm going to share, you know, the discussions that we're having and how I got those discussions going and what the contracts are looking like and, you know, next steps. Because I want the audience to know this is real talk, right? It's really happening. And if you know someone who's going through it step by step, then you may feel less concerned or intimidated or worried about that, right? And I still continue to bring on guests who are part of the process, who are doing business in not just West Africa, East Africa, South Africa, because we're serious about this, right, brothers? We're serious about this, and it's possible. It's possible. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep you all informed of what's going on and how it's going with me and, you know, and everything. It's going to be a great experience to share with everyone because this is how we bring it to fruition, right? We talk about it, and we're going to be about it. And it's an exciting time. It really, really is. So with that being the case now, and we've got the momentum going, let's open up those phone lines for some Q&As. Let's talk. Yeah. Everyone has chat about this.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need the most within the Black community when it comes to, you know, the power of the Black dollar? What's going on? Everyone who's listening, this is Black Bell Radio. Let's talk about this.
Okay. Excellent, sister.
Yeah.
Indeed. So, well, listen, like I said, our mics are open. If you can hear us, we can hear you. So this is our mics are open. So like the sister said, let's talk about it. Callers or anyone who is ready to speak, we welcome your comments. All right. Well, Brother Aziz, again, you, I look at still though, the spendings that we are doing. And like I said, I look at, when we talk about dual citizenship, because, let's face it, as an American, we always going to be Americans. I don't see how we could ever be anything else other than an American. But at the same time, when we say New Africa, we know that we are going home. I've always talked about going home. And when we go home, we are New Africans. Even though I love the idea that when I go on the website and bring up our website, New Africa Business, New Africa, Brother Aziz, I'm finding New Africa all over in Guinea. I mean, all over the parts of Africa. Now you're seeing Africans saying they're calling themselves New
Africa. Yeah.
And so. I said, my goodness.
Right there in Africa on top of that.
Yeah, right in Africa. Right in Africa. I was looking at our statistics and the places we go, and I said, my goodness, if you don't identify us as New Africa, Washington, D.C., man, you
right.
Know, which New Africa are you talking about now? Because the name has been taken on by many, and and of course, this New Africa, we know it came from Imam W.D. Muhammad. He gave it to us years ago, just like Malcolm, Brother Malcolm, said it was no longer Negroes, it was African Americans. So those who have traveled the world, they know that we are dignified peoples. And some of the names that was given to us by slave owners or what have you, of course, they didn't try to dignify us by giving us any names of that would be a dignify any humans. So, African Americans, and now the New Africans. It's something that we should indeed be very proud of. But at the same time, that pride should come in now, come into ownership. because again, we know that, I think I can speak sort of direct when I say I think we're tired of spending monies. African Americans want to do business now with each other. They want to do business with other African Americans. We're at that stage. The problem is we can't identify the African American businesses. And there are quite a few of them out here, especially here in Washington, D.C. But even here in Washington, D.C., it's still hard to identify the African American businesses because we're washed out by so many other businesses that are not African Americans. And especially here, y'all, it used to be Caucasians, but my goodness, the diversity of Washington, D.C., it's gone near the entire world. And so now you can see it's very hard to find your home. But we want to do business with each other, especially when it comes to the restaurant business. And I say that to say that when I go to, there's quite a few restaurants, or there are quite a few, let's say, bakers and cooks that are African Americans, and now you're getting to taste their food. And I ain't gonna joke to you about it. Our food is good. We just didn't have the restaurants, and we still don't, as to where we can really know where our restaurants and where we can go to patronize these restaurants. That's why I say, African Americans, go back home. Go back to where you came from, that migration that we made, especially from the South. Those of us that are retiring, it's time to go back. Go back there, and that's where you can still buy your 5,000 square foot house that we like big, nice, fancy homes. But that's where you can still buy these homes. And you can buy them without having to spend a half a million or $700,000 trying to live in white communities that ain't going to offer you what you can have if you go back home and build it yourself. Put your restaurants back in your, I said your restaurants, but put your businesses back in your community. And put your businesses back in your communities. And find that you can now afford. What I'm trying to say is by going back home, especially as business folks, you're going to find revenue. And those of you who know after taxes, we know what revenue is. I done paid all of my expenses now and made some money. That's what revenue is. And that's what you're going to find when you go home. Right now in these communities you're in, it's going to be hard to find revenue because you're renting, you don't own this, and the cost of this integration that we've been going through now for about 100 years, or pretty close to it, I guess it ain't been 100 years, but close to 85 years anyway, that we've been going through, it hasn't been no advantage for us. The only advantage is, like I said, we find ourselves just being consumers, spending a huge amount of monies, making someone else rich while they make certain that we are poor, or what we live in what is called the ghettos. You know, that's an interesting word. And since, let me open my mic to back up because of the Brother Aziz, you know, we don't need Jordan's talk for us, but we have to get the. Again, our mics are open this evening, and we welcome your comments. If you have something that you like to share, we have said that you would like to share. We're talking about dual citizenship in Africa. Many of us have already gone. We know we're going to do some things in both communities now. our own black communities and in Africa, and this dual citizenship that we're talking about. Our mics are open if you'd like to share in. We certainly like to hear from you. All right, everybody's still quiet, so they don't mind hearing what we have to say, evidently. But like I was saying, brother.
You know what, I would like to bring to the forefront a lot about what you said in regards to the next step for us as a people. You know, growing up, we grew up, my sister and I grew up in D.C., and so the cities that have southern states for names, we knew that was the black areas. You know, Florida Avenue and South Carolina Avenue and Georgia Avenue, like, okay, those were the black people, the black areas, and the businesses that were there. And that's how we knew how to identify DZs, you know, based off of the state names. If there was a certain state, it was this area. If it was a certain state, it was a southern area and such. But the community that was built around it, you know, it was familiar, it was empowering and such. And that has changed. That has changed significantly in D.C. And I know that's how it is in other southern states as well. Atlanta in some areas, and I know in North Carolina, Durham in some areas, the gentrification has really hit. And what that means to us as a black community is that we constantly establish ourselves, reestablish ourselves for us, by us, for the purpose of not only survival but empowerment. What has been told to us multiple times is that we shouldn't go to Africa because it's backwards. We shouldn't go to Africa because we won't be able to survive. We shouldn't go to Africa because of diseases and animals and such. And that's not the case whatsoever. You know, that's not the case for us as a people. The connection is important. And understanding what's possible over there, right? We've done business in America successfully over and over and over again. And so we know what it is and what it takes. Having those same skills and sharing it with the people in Africa, it's necessary and it's important, because let me tell you all, Caucasians, white Americans, they are doing business in Europe. They're establishing business in Europe, right? They could be from West Virginia 4 or 5 generations in. As soon as someone has the opportunity to do business in Europe, they're going to do that. You don't have a problem with making those international connections and still establishing themselves here in the U.S. But that international business component, for the sake of their heritage, for the sake of their community, purity, that is something that is done. It's not spoken about publicly often by the white American community, but they do it. They do it. Other nationalities do it as well. They establish business. Sometimes they establish business here and then send the money over to their home country and establish even bigger business. And what's that? And once that is prolific, then they leave the United States and go there. We are the only people who are unaware or resistant of doing that. And we shouldn't be. We don't need to be. We don't need to be. We have created much, much legacy here in the United States that I am proud of. For what my mother's generation has done and what my grandmother's generation has done, in spite of what we were put through and what we were destined to be, we overcame all of that. And we can do that again in a greater sense, because we are wanted. We are strongly wanted by African delegates, African heads of state, the people. They know what African Americans have done. They read about us, right? They hear our stories. They hold on to particular pioneers that we have in our history. But they want to know more, and they are excited to meet us. They are excited to know us. When we had the ambassador Shamsuddin from Sierra Leone here last week speaking about it. I can't remember if he mentioned this or not, but I know that he told my group of people this, that, you know, he brought over of close to 50 people, 50 of African Americans, and they had, you know, countrywide news coverage. People were amazed and shocked that many African Americans came to the continent. And myself, And Mr. Artist was the other day, we're at a local restaurant in Raleigh. A Senegalese restaurant speaking to some patrons there, big businessmen from Senegal. And when Mr. Artist spoke about the number of people who were in their country, the number of African Americans in their country, they all fell out with excitement and awe. That many African Americans cared about being in that country. And it excited them. It excited them. And from that point on, they wanted to do more and more business with Mr. Artist. And they were already very, very successful businessmen here in the United States. And so they wanted to spread that wealth from the connection. Because just knowing that African Americans are interested in doing business in their country. So we have a platform. This is an exciting time. This is a movement on another level, right? And this is a very exciting time. You know, so any questions, any comments, any concerns, you know, any stereotypes, hey, let's talk about that. That's the truth. You know, we as Black Americans have been told negative things about Africans and vice versa. Vice versa. I have a friend who's, she's a businesswoman and she's Nigerian, and she said in Nigeria, the propaganda from white supremacy about African Americans, you know, is that we were just singers and dancers and trendsetters, but we're all gangsters and we had no kind of home training, you know. So they had the negative. They were the generation in Africa were given negative images about us, and we were given negative images about them. That was intentional. That was intentional because those who constructed the acts of white supremacy knew that if Black Americans and Africans got together, they would take over. And they did not want that to happen. So dividing us as a people, giving us negative images of each other, would keep us divided. We don't need to be that way anymore. There's no need for it. There's no need for it. So add in your comments. Let's talk. Let's talk about this.
Mics are open, brothers and sisters. Like I said, this is a community conversation. It's not ours. If you can hear us, all the mics are open so we can hear you, and we welcome your comments. Our mics are open.
Yeah, this is Brother Aziz again. I know a lot of our audience are just listening, and maybe that's good too. That they're not saying anything, but we would like them to participate. And we see this often that the lines will be filled, and people are just listening and not asking questions. But another question I'd like to ask you, Sister Sasha, is. Common businesses that are in the neighborhoods that we have here, like the convenience store in the D.C. area, 7-Elevens, dollar stores, just common things we have around here. Would they be lucrative businesses in Africa, as you know, or what are some of the businesses just that you may know off the top of your head that Africans, they need in Africa that Americans could, you know, have an idea of the number of things that they would need besides roads and, you know, highways and other big things, infrastructure repairs. Do you have any?
Good question. Good
can
question.
You give us any?
It would, you know what?
Okay.
It would honestly depend on the country. So let's say we're talking about Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone right now, and that's who the ambassador represents. He represents the country of Sierra Leone. Because it went through so much, it went through decades of war, and it was an epicenter for the Ebola virus decades ago. The country is recovering in many ways, resourcefully, infrastructure-wise and such. So everything starting from agriculture all the way down to zoology, they will need resources for. And the president is very, very open about wanting Black-owned businesses to come do business into the country because he understands that countries such as Russia and China and Europe, they are clamoring to get in because they understand it's great opportunity, it's fresh opportunity. But he, among other African leaders, they don't want that. They know that those countries will just exploit their resources because they've done it before multiple times. They don't want to continue in that process. So if you own a convenience store, yes, you can do business over there because they don't have the infrastructure and as a people, the complete knowledge and tools to build the convenience store and then source it with, you know, the supplies and the resources that sell. So a Black American who said, hey, I know what a convenience store needs to be, how it needs to operate. We need to put in, you know, refrigerators. We need to put in counters. We need to put in certain shelves and all these shelvings. We need to put these type of items. That would be lucrative over there. Anyone who knows about import and export, anyone who knows about bringing in goods and sending out goods, that will be a lucrative business over there because they have the port. They have the port. But, again, other countries such as Russia and Europe and China, they're trying to monopolize on the port. And the government is resistant of that. Other businesses, clothing stores. If you have a clothing shop, yeah, you do wonderful. You do well over there. You know, you may even be able to sell not just the clothing that you have coming in from here, but also get into the industry of selling African-based clothing there, too. If you're a farmer, of course, that is ideal. You know, it's interesting. Production has been a topic that has come up in just in my network of business people who are either doing business in West Africa right now or looking to it. Because, for an example, Senegal, they produce a large amount of onions, because this is what was told to me, because they don't have the warehouse and the type of refrigeration and the type of infrastructure to house it properly. Something as simple as storing, you know, fresh food that is missing from a component that they need in a country. So all of this food spoils. And a Black American country who does this with their eyes closed can come in and say, hey, we can provide you with the type of storage that you need. You can create that. That's not going to be a problem. It's all about, and it's the same process, Brother Aziz, it's the same process if you're a business owner to some capacity in the United States and you need a product, you research and you network until you find that seller that has the product that you need. Same thing. The connections are there. I think we get intimidated when we talk about Africa because of the idea of it, right? And we use the word Africa, the whole continent, and maybe not break it down country by country. Or we have questions about, because of the stereotypes we hear about it, right? Oh, it's rough, it's dark, it's dangerous. And some of the, most places in Africa are safer than the inner cities we have in the United States, and that's the truth. You can look at statistics for that. But mostly, we have to overcome the stereotypes of each other, right? You got to overcome that. So, yeah, when I tell you from A to Z, it's from A to Z. And then one connection leads you to another that leads you to another, because oftentimes what is profitable in one country, another country needs as well. I will say from a personal standpoint, I'm an education consultant. My company focuses on training educators and developing programs, whether that be academic-based programs for students who identify with special needs and disabilities, and such like that. That is something that's being established in Sierra Leone. But then I get word it's needed in Senegal. And then I'm being contacted by ambassadors saying, hey, we need this in Ghana. You know, the needs are there, and they're in more than one place. So it's like a chain. It's like a chain effect. We just got to put ourselves out there. And I want to also mention what you were saying, Brother Bilal, about, you know, how we were raised and the country that we lived in. You know, I remember growing up in the DMV, I remember that the Black-owned businesses in D.C., right? It was not hard to find a black-owned business in D.C. Not at all. You just knew if any street that was named after the southern state, Georgia Avenue, Florida Avenue, South Carolina, you could find a black-owned business. Anytime you went through Howard University, you went to HBCU, and this is across the country, too. Usually when you go around to HBCU, you can find a black-owned business. Man, Chocolate City, it says, you know, gentrification is so common now around the United States, and what that's done is taken away the black-owned businesses and made them struggle even more. We have the opportunity as a people to work smarter, not necessarily harder, and understand what I mean by that. We don't have to continue to struggle for the smaller percentages that they're only going to give us. We don't have to. And we honor the pioneers that did. We honor the pioneers who took a stand 200 years ago, you know, and 100 years ago and 50 years ago and such. It took a stand for our independence. It took a stand for our freedom. It took a stand for our financial growth and abundance. Take those same attributes and take it to Africa where it's needed, where we can flourish. We have the power to impact not only the country, but the money too. Make their currency grow, right? Make it compatible on the market worldwide. We could do that. We could definitely do that. So let's ask the questions. Everyone on the phone line, you know, ask the questions. Please let us know.
Mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Good evening, brothers and sisters, and Assalamu alaikum. Well, you know, I have a little bit of vanity left, and I thought my brother would say, well, we got our people out there in Oklahoma, but I guess I better speak up for Oklahoma myself. So
yeah.
With that in mind, and I am enjoying the discussion, and yes, I'm doing more listening than speaking, but I'm in a different transition these days. I'm trying to do that. But at the same time, when you have something to say, I guess you should try to share. And with that in mind, yesterday we had a very good discussion on our international venture, our project. Some of you may be interested, and if so, we'd be interested in speaking with you. And that's in regards to our poultry, our chicken, as well as and we have extended it to our fruits and vegetables. Now, yesterday on the call, we were able to speak with a brother who is interested in painting and artwork that he would like to offer to bring to the United States. And we also spoke, just so many things, you know, with Black History Month coming, you know, we like the outfits and those beautiful outfits that the ladies and gentlemen wear there. And that's about the only time but for the most part, where we really do shop with Black businesses during Black History Month, especially if you have the outfits as well as maybe some of the adornments that they like to go along with the outfits. But tomorrow, we're having our first and a Zoom meeting where we're going to be about making some commitments to what we're going to do with the brothers there in the Gambia with the our chicken farm. Also, if you're not familiar with fan base, and I won't take a poll to see who is or who is not, but fan base is a new, I would say they're going to be on the same lines as with Google and such places as that. And at the same time, you will also be able to go on, like we go on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and those places. You'll also be able to do that. But the advantage, we're speaking of shopping, you know, with black-owned businesses, well, this is a black-owned business that's just basically just getting started. I think they've been out now for about 2, maybe 3 years. But the advantage, and we all know, you know, this, they talk about name recognition. We all recognize the name of Isaac Hayes when we hear or speak about Fanbase. And the gentleman, the young man who is the owner of Fanbase is Isaac Hayes III. So, and I really feel that the brother is trying to compete in the industry, and we, as I'm saying we, I'm speaking of me and my family, as well as some of us, we need to look in the fan base and give the brother a hand. At least I feel that we should. And you shares on there. You can even have concerts. You can have your own fundraisers. So if you haven't looked at fan base, please, brothers and sisters, just take a moment, type it in your search engine, and check out Fanbase. And at the same time, if you're interested in investing in chickens overseas in the Gambia, speak to one of us. You got Brother Aziz. Brother Aziz, we need you tomorrow in the meeting. But
yeah.
Please try to make it. And if anyone is on the call tonight that we've invited on, we'd like to hear from you as well. And I thank you for your time, and I'm excited. And I really enjoy speaking with the brothers and getting all those wonderful ideas, and I'll be sharing the information with you guys as I receive it. And I thank you each. Good night. Thank you.
Mics are open. We'll welcome
I was going to
you.
Say, Sister Joyce, I saw on WhatsApp today some clothes or something that for a guy was on there. Was that the gentleman that's going to be doing business?
That's the brother. And tomorrow he's going to have us a little art before the during the Zoom call. We're going to have an art display. So,
uh-huh.
You know, yeah, that'll be a good thing. We're enjoying it. So, yes, that's him.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Mike, you're open. We welcome your comments. All right. Then again,
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Sister Aisha, and I would like to comment on doing business in Africa. Can you hear me okay?
I'm loud and clear.
Yes, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Based on my experience, having done business in Africa and been involved in that area for a number of years, one of the things that I think that we as Americans, we make a mistake in assuming that we can walk into Africa and be successful in the business that we want to take there. We need to change our attitude a little bit. Africans, most of them, many of them who have businesses already established, they are looking for partners. And they are looking for partners that can bring financial resources and the intellect of doing business. Those are the two things that are missing. Because many of the businesses take place on the community level, or we used to call it the village level, but the community level. And some of these are very established people who have been working in their village or their community for many years, and they have the trust and the respect of the community people. Now, as an American, it would take some time, even a period of years, before you can walk into Africa, into a village, and gain the trust of the people. The people will smile at you a great deal, but that doesn't mean anything. That means that they are smiling at you. But they really are looking for people who want to come in, bring their resources, financial resources, be a partner, and bring the knowledge of doing business, especially exporting. Now, it's always good if we as Americans would contact the embassy of the country that we want to do business in, because the responsibility of that embassy in the U.S. is pair you with a company that is requesting for that type of help, partners and intellectual information. And if you're working through the embassy in this country as well as the ministries in those in the other countries, you are protected a great deal in the sense that you're going to have all of the legalities before you, and you're going to take care of all the legalities that make your relationship solid and legal. And you know that someone is not trying to get over on you. Also, you must be willing to spend time in the country. The primary reason is if you go into a partnership, you want to know your partners well, and you want the government to know that you're there and that you're doing business in the country. In from the U.S. perspective, now, the U.S. is really big on export. The U.S. Manufacturers, they want to sell their goods. That's how they. That's how we make money in this country. We want to export. And Ex-Im Bank in this country have great programs. That's in D.C. They have great programs. The Foreign Trade Administration, great. U.S. Commerce, they have great programs. Country Desk Officer at the U.S. Department of Commerce, they can tell you information about the essential needs in every country in Africa down to the minute details. And it's good information. And you decide how you want to use it. But from my experience, and I've had very good experience in Africa, in the business world, at the highest level of government, and I've had some doozies. I've had some terrible, made some terrible mistakes over a period of years. And you're going to learn. You're going to learn a lot. But if you can avoid the mistakes are costly, and they are going to cost you. Make sure you work with the institutions that are already established in the country, such as the ministry's office. And the ambassador, our ambassador here in the U.S., that Sajda was mentioning, they can put you in touch with the ministries. But you can also do it yourself. Work with the U.S. Trade Administration, because there are incentives, there are financial incentives available for American business people to export. Now, if you're going to export from the U.S., you're going to export from Africa as well. It eventually becomes a two-way proposition. But don't think that you're just going to go to Africa and make money. You're going to have to take something, and then you're going to get something, hopefully. So I will advise everyone, look at Africa. It's a great place to work. It's a great place to have business relationships, but it is work, and it is hard work, and you've got to be on ground. Establish yourself or someone in your family on ground to look at your interests, look after your interests. And that's, and they appreciate that. If you come in and you try to set up a business 1 month and you go on the next month, there's no appreciation or respect. And you can look to lose everything you brought to the table. But you must establish relationship with the people and with the community. So
you know,
those are my comments.
You know, brothers and sisters. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, first and foremost, when I say the power of the black dollar, when we say dual citizenship, doing businesses in our own black communities that's been neglected for heaven knows, I mean, for all of my lifetime anyway, and I'm 75. In other words, and now we're getting back to I. The same reason why we haven't developed our businesses in here in this country is the same reason we're getting ready to run over to Africa and become failures almost. Why? Because we're talking about I. I want to go do what I want. Brothers and sisters, I just finished telling you, and I was giving you hard facts, that last year, I keep on showing you the power of the monies that African Americans have. The power of the monies that African Americans, do you know when it comes to the growth national product, and we don't have a growth national product, we just have income in our African-American communities, but African countries and that entire continent, as we say, huge continent, with all those countries in it, not one of them can tell you that their growth national product was $1 billion. $1 billion. I doubt the one of them could tell you that. Nigeria probably could come close. The most I think that's, not one country could tell you anything about a good $1 billion that they have as income or revenue or monies being made. African Americans and just their consumer spendings, not billions, but $1.4 trillion. Brothers and sisters, we are about the fifth or the sixth richest nation. We are a nation compared to any other nation out there in the world. The United States, African Americans, we have the power of some of the most important nations in the world, including Great Britain, many countries in Europe. You start talking about going to Europe and doing this. Even the Europeans don't have the power and the monies that African Americans have in this country. So again, if you have that kind of power, why not exert your power? If you're talking about going to Africa, a country that can't come close to your industrialization, but we're Africans, and we're saying that we don't mind going back to countries in Africa that has really sold us as slaves. But now all of that is, but there's no animosity, no malice in our heart. We're saying that the power of our black dollars we can take if we became a black nation, if we became unified, if we became each other's assets, where we would stop going out there putting our monies in white banks and letting them have all of our powers, and white institutions, letting them have, because that's where our monies go. But here, if we're talking about if we're going to go to Africa, why not go to Africa powerful? And what makes you powerful is money. So again, my interest in as far as Black Wall Street, I want to bring back the Black Wall Street. I want to bring back the Black Belt. All of that was a reality before integration. And during that time, we was bringing in billions of dollars throughout the South, all the way from Texas, all the way to Virginia, to include Maryland and Delaware, the places where ex-slaves were taken as field hands and made what was called the black soil that made this country rich. Brothers and sisters, we have already shown our power here in the United States. Think what would happen if we took our power away from this country. You think this country could sustain it? They don't want that to happen. But again, the decision is ours. If we can become a black nation, if we can become a black united communities, if our communities would become vested and start putting their monies in their own communities, that's what I mean about going back to your own black communities. That's where you start at home, putting your monies back into your own communities, keeping your monies, the church monies, our church monies, the monies we just put into nothing but church is more monies than any African nation will ever see in a year's time. So again, we have the power because we have the dollars. But so anywhere we go in the world, we can exert that power if we go there with the monies. So again, when we start talking about let's go to Africa, yes, I say the same thing. Let's go to Africa. But when we say let's go to Africa, I would love to see at least a delegation, and maybe that's the first delegation that would go over, and it'll be about 200 of us, or hopefully more. But each one of us would be going with at least $10,000. In other words, when we go to these African embassies, we go to the African embassy knowing that we got millions of dollars in our mints, that when we get to Africa, we can buy our own country, our own communities. We're taking everything that African Americans can do to build our section of Africa. You understand what I just said? Our section of Africa. We're not going back to Africa to saying that we are if we got to go back to Africa and we're not homeowners in Africa, even though we are Africans, and if we're going back now to be no more than a visitor or a business owner trying to do business with you, I mean, what's the need to go back to Africa? Hell, we're right here in the United States, the most industrialized country where everybody wants to be. So again, we're already here. But we're saying that we can make things better for ourselves and we can make things better for Africa. But there has to be a deal. There has to be a deal made between the two of us in order for this thing to work. So when I go to Africa, I'm looking for my own sovereignty. I'm not looking to go to Africa and say I want to become a partner with a chicken farmer. I'm not going to Africa to say I want to become a partner with owning a 7-Eleven store. No. I am going to Africa to say I am building the same black community on African black soil that I built in the United States. And now I am making whatever part of Africa African Americans go into, the most industrialized African country in the world. There could be one of them, or there could be many of them. We have the power. So again, that's what I am looking forward to talking about, going dual citizenship. I don't see the point of asking for anything. We didn't ask long enough. We don't have to ask. We are a powerful people. We just have never became that united peoples that we should be. But as far as our power, we have the power. We just give it away. We consume it away to everyone else but Africans and African Americans. So I guess I'm not really making a point. I just want to make that statement because sitting here and renegating, going back to Africa as a sole proprietor, that and again we're looking to deal with somebody's needs. That's I don't know. I mean, I don't have that interest, but then too, I don't speak for everyone. But that's what distant communications, that's what we're talking about. Are we talking about going back to Africa as an independent, powerful peoples? Are we talking about going back to Africa in whatever manner we're supposed to be going back? But anyway, I know going back to Africa and building our black communities, because the black communities in this country, I'm telling you right now, we are on life support here in the United States. And because, again, the only territories left for us affordable to grow in is the black communities that we've already left. Those are affordable to us, but I'm telling you, they're not going to be affordable long, because I've been into the deepest part of the South. I see prices increasing as we speak. And the cheap prices are never going to, once the prices go up, you can bet your life it's going to be hard for them to go back down. So again, our mics are open, and we welcome your comments.
Well, you know, Brother Bilal, this is Sister Aisha again. I remember back in May. Yes, go ahead.
No, go right ahead, Sister Aisha. Go right ahead.
I remember back in May of 2022, I heard Imam Yahya Abdullah talk about the GDP position of the African-American community if we start utilizing our resources in that way, but you have to be an organized body in order to think about GDP. But if we looked at our standing in the world, and this is something that you were mentioning, it made me decide to go back and do a little research based on what Imam Yahya Abdullah was talking about. And I found out this was based on 2022 data. Well, it had to have, I did it in 2022, so it was based on 2021 data. The top 25 GDP countries, gross domestic product, GDP countries in the world. Do you know that based on the resources that the African-American have at their disposal, the dollar value, we will be number 9 in the world, right behind Italy? We will be number 9. And the countries that will be below us, Canada, Russia, Spain, Mexico, Indonesia, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, South Africa, and Israel. Those countries will have less GDP than we if we were a country. But doesn't that say something that it empowers me? It empowers my thinking process. We've got to start seeing ourselves as a major player in the world and not just running around in our community throwing our money away.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So I did this research and I forgot to mention it. So, but I wanted you to, the audience to know,
Sister Aisha, I'm a certified licensed financial planner. It would be crazy for me, a trained, educated in finance, 40 years of building a financial clientele. You know, it's easy for me to see these things. I just wish others have the experiential knowledge that I had, because, again, like I said, when you look at the power of our dollar, boy, if I could be the leader of our peoples when it comes to the power of the dollar, I'll tell you the truth, our monies would be flowing back in our communities, because I was subject to a way where it would have to be. It would have to be. Yes, ma'am.
Well,
your conversation, this is for us all. Listeners, this is the time to come in and start making your comments. It's not a time to be silent. Your money is involved here, too. Yes,
well,
right
do you
here.
Remember in during the time of segregation, our money circulated. This is during segregation.
Yeah,
our money circulated in our community for 40 months.
Yes, it did.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
40
wow.
months.
It did.
During segregation, folks.
Yes.
So,
and now
only 6 hours now.
Yeah.
In 30 months during segregation.
The price we pay for
and many people and to sign up to that, many people believe that that was the purpose of integration, and that's why we're supported by the government so much in a sense, because they knew that by implementing integration, it would move the money out of our communities.
Precisely.
Yes.
And that would be more successful.
And the thing
about it,
we love it.
The civil rights and all of that. They weren't really that was just a sacrifice for them. The civil rights piece and the integration of equality, because we never really got it. We never really got equality, but they got our money.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when it came to agriculture, as a person that was born in the South, I was born in Alabama, but I know in the Southern states, period. When it came to agriculture, we traded among one another. You know, different. You didn't have a nice size farm. People grew vegetables and sold them to one another, or traded them for one another, and that was another way of keeping the money in the store in the community, because it was very seldom that we had to go to the store to buy very few things, maybe some flour or. You know, just something, some salt, something like salt. Other than that, most of the other things, we were able to get right there in our community doing trade among one another. That's the way it was, and I think that's one of the ways that allowed us to keep a lot of that money in our community.
That's how we lost it. That's how we lost it is because, again, integration, our communities, Black Belt Wall Street, Booker T. Washington, and the plans that a Black Belt Wall Street and Black Wall Street out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, the plans that they had put together, I mean, they had black banks all over the South. They had black financial institutions all over the South. They had insurance companies, own black insurance companies all over. Our black dollars was was extreme. Why do you think they dropped bombs on Tulsa? Why do you think they destroyed that entire city on a one great big rush on destroying? Because again, they wanted to destroy the power that was making all of this happen. And the power that was making all of this happen is that black oil that is still flowing in Tulsa that belongs to black people. So again, integration, segregation, when we was all together, that was our richest time in history. And white folks didn't destroy that segregation. Integration, the white man said, come live with us. And damn, we took off. And now look at us today.
Yep.
I'm saying to go back home before it's too late. Our communities, our existence is on life support. Look at all these immigrants coming into this country. And you can see how monies from our government system is being distributed. I mean, all over Europe, Ukraine, and everybody else is getting our money. African Americans ain't getting nothing. Not a darn thing. And we're not going to get anything. But if we take and go back home to our black communities and start building, get away from the integration, put our doctors, put our hospitals, put our schools, put everything we put in the white communities, take it back to the black communities and let that black dollar circulate back in our communities. And now you're going to find the power of the black dollars back in our communities. And now look what we can do in Africa. Any other parts of the world. Brothers and sisters, we are powerful peoples, but we white folks too damn much. I'm sorry to see it. The mics are open. And I say we love them because of the amount of monies that we give to them every day, every second. Every second. The black dollar is working. As do you think, even though the banks are closed, that black dollar is still circulating. It circulates 24 hours a day somewhere in the world. The black U.S. dollar is circulating every second of every day. And most of that money belongs to us, but we won't see a return on none of it because, again, we don't have anywhere to keep our monies. Don't even have anywhere to even keep your own monies. That's a situation folks in the world would say daggone is a sad situation. But again, I'm not talking about anything about sadness. I'm trying to show you how powerful we are financially. Let's change it. Our mics are open, brothers and sisters. We welcome your comments. No comments?
Well, bro. Yeah, Brother Bilal, Brother Aziz, I have a comment. You know, one of the things that our program that we've been doing all along, and especially with the addition of Sister Ali and Sister Sasha, you know, educating people, you know, educating and educating. But one of the things that us educating people about different facets of business and opportunities and that, we don't know if we've had listening to the show or not leaders, because leaders in the community have a great influence over the people that they're leading, how big or small they are. And this is one of the things that this is a platform that, as you suggested about wanting to do these things, and going to Africa and having the monies, you know, as well as in our communities first, it's the leaders of these big communities, whether they be these mega churches or masjid communities that are big, if the leaders in there were to guide their people towards, inform them that we have an African-American bank here. We have African-American attorneys. If they were to inform their people as well as you in the community, that goes a long way towards assisting us in putting the word out there like that to try to get people, you know, people to do business with one another, to participate in entities like this. Like you say, find where a black bank is, and let's help this bank grow. Let's help it grow. But it's up to a lot of our leaders, because a lot of the individuals, they don't hear programs like we have. And maybe some of the things just don't sink in. But leaders need to hear information like what we're sharing and feed it to their community. Give this information to your community and almost, you know, demand that your community do things like this.
Brother,
we know we're going to have people.
Brother Aziz,
yes, sir.
You don't mind me. And like I said, in the community, we ask you to interject, jump right on in. We don't mind. But Brother Aziz, when we start talking about leaders and things we don't know, you don't think that these mega churches that brings in, I tell you, our churches is bringing in almost $1 trillion a year also. You don't think that these churches and all like that realize the huge amount of monies that's coming in and how they could grow our communities if they want to. So when you start talking about leadership, our leaderships could be crooks. Because, again, it's something that we as a community, sometimes you have to just look at and like I said, follow the money. Follow the money.
Yeah.
And it'll always take you to the truth in this country. You want to find out the truth and what's happening, follow the dollar bills. And so, again, when you start talking about we need to educate, no. We need to come together as a community, because remember, the power is in the peoples. We're the ones who putting up the money, not these churches, not these judges, not these politicians. They're the ones who, after putting up the money, how they can control many things once money is deposited, especially once it goes into the Federal Reserve. And we know a whole bunch of that is going to end up in Wall Street. So again, I think as African Americans, we know as I don't know if we need all this education and all like that. I think we know, because again, all you got to do is look at the power. Like I said, of our topic tonight. The power of the black dollar is a powerful dollar. So again, brothers and sisters, our mics are open. It's up to us. It's up to the communities to, like I said, to start putting together business plans and having business plans, having business meetings, and change the conditions of your own financial communities. That's what's going to put a stop to the killings that's going on in the streets, because our young folks don't see any opportunities. We ain't showing them nothing but what Santa Claus we just went through, buying a gift from Santa Claus, and Santa Claus is a white man. We got to change. Give our young folks. The opportunity, and I'm so glad Sister Sasha, she's a young lady. She is with us, and we need more young participation. I was saying earlier, I just had a group of young ladies from Delaware. They just called me. They're in Africa as we speak. They left Monday night. And like I told them, the same thing. Go over it, because they have the same interest. They have the interest that they're young, they're professionals. Most of them are young school teachers, but they're in running an age of about 30 to 40 years old. And they are just, they're sort of fed up because, again, they don't see a professional opportunity, even when it comes to marriage. They don't see their young males even equaling up to as to where they can even select the young males as for marriage. So again, they're thinking that they can go in this case, Africa, and not only to see what a business and living opportunities would be like, but hopefully they would find males that would take on more of a man's responsibilities and do things that males would do, showing the appreciations of the female. So again, we got our communities has got to go back, and we got to go back, and we got to show values in our communities. And of course, this is my opinion. I don't know. But again, I have an opinion. And if we all have an opinion, hopefully we can narrate those opinions and get into a real good fact. But right now, our mics are open, and let's share our opinions. Brothers and sisters, we welcome your comments. Well, I can tell you one thing. I can see the board, our switchboard, and we are busy. So our mics are open. We welcome your comments. There's no reason to be shy or bashful about anything, because we all are African Americans, and the same conditions that are happening to you is happening to me too, and it's happening to all of us. I think that we're powerful enough to change our conditions. I know we are. So our mics are open. We welcome your comments. Sister Aisha, I know this is your show. We've been taking it over for the last half an hour. I'm going to turn it over to you.
This is a great topic. And, of course, there's anything that I say about the effects of climate change is related to economics, because climate change is one of the most devastating experiences that we are presently undergoing that's affecting our economics, not just for the immediate term, but for the long term. And all the things that you mentioned about segregation and racism in this country, it too has contributed to the economic issues that we are dealing with. When we talked about redlining before, redlining was one of the historical situations that occurred in this country because of the banking system decided to do so, that affected our communities in large scale. It impacted us to the extent that we are now dealing with the consequences of redlining, and that consequence is gentrification. We are looking at that, and once again, that's going to be another system that will help to completely destroy the African-American community. Let me give you an example of a gentrified situation that occurred in a community near me. A friend of mine, 16 years ago, purchased a house in the African-American community. It was the African-American Black Wall Street community, meaning that the people that developed Black Wall Street in Durham, North Carolina, the North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company people, the banking, Mechanics and Farmers banking system, mutual savings and loans, all of these great financial institutions, Haytide, the business district in Durham. This house was in the community that they lived in, which is only two blocks from North Carolina Central University. They bought this house 16 years ago that they are living in for $97,000. Today, they are receiving offers for that same house for $400,000. Now, who do you think these offers are coming from? It's not the people that's living in the community. It is not the large number of homeless people. It is not the large number of people who are being displaced. These are climate gentrification migrants who are coming into the United States or coming across the United States, coming from the western part of the U.S. to this part of the U.S. or coming from another country into the U.S. And they can come into the U.S. because they don't look like us. They're the ones that are saying, for your house, saying to my neighbors, for your house, we'll pay you $400,000. Even though you paid only $97,000 for it 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't many people in this particular community that I'm talking about who can afford a $400,000 house. So this is what we're having to contend with. And if we don't do something about it, most of our communities where people did own their homes, there will be no more.
Life support.
It's even worse than that, because I'm hearing from this same family that even though they only paid $97,000 for the house 16 years ago, they still have a mortgage on the house. The mortgage is not very high, but however, the family are suffering because the primary breadwinner has lost their job. They are getting older. And they have to make some other decisions, like go live with their children, or and the children want to come live with them. So these are the dilemmas that we are faced with in our community. And if we as an African-American community, if we don't get ourselves together, we will be no more. And we are definitely losing the little resources that we do have in place. And the largest resource that the African-American community has is the ownership of property, in that, especially in the South. So there is nothing that I can say about climate change that is not devastating to us. And everything about climate change, there are scenarios, social, political, and economic scenarios that's impacting our lives. And climate change is a catalyst that's helping to bring these things forward. So we must see this total, our total existence, especially now, as a trigger to do something about our situation, folks, or we won't be around much longer, and we will own nothing. So if anyone else in the audience know of situations that I just talked about, let us know. Let us know your feelings. Let us know some of the hardship that, if it's not you that are facing, people that you know are facing, so we can have a broader perspective of our economics. So please, I welcome your comments. Tell me something. Educate me tonight on what we can do to stop this situation of deterioration of our communities, our families, and get back on track. So I welcome your comments.
Our mics are open. If you can hear us, we certainly can hear you. Our mics are open. We welcome your comments. All right. Well, while we're considering comments or considering, I like to say that New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, we all are one. We need your memberships. The radio station, the expenses, our expenses here are constantly increasing. And we've been on the station now for 8 years, and we more or less sustain ourselves for the last 7, going on 8 years, but we're at the point now where we need your membership. So if you think we're valuable enough to stay on the radio, if you think we're valuable enough to continue to bring experts that can bring about a productive change. We're a business association, so we're always talking about bringing about an economical change. We sometimes talk about politics, because when our politicians get way out of hands, like insurrections that we just had, and talking about our democracy is going to change to white supremacy, and all of the other domestic problems that we can have, we need a channel of communications. And I can tell you right now, brothers and sisters, as African Americans, we are the last to be informed. We don't tell our own stories. The conversations that we're having tonight, these conversations are not held in our communities, because we don't have channels of communications that we can share our conversations and share our opinions. So the New Africa Business Association of Black Belt Wall Street was incorporated to do just that. And we want to grow as big as our community will allow us to grow. We can grow even bigger than what we are. But where we are at the present time, it's where we are, and we need your memberships to sustain and to grow. So again, if you would go on the website, go to New Africa Business Association newafricabusinessassociation.com/URL. newafricabusinessassociation.com/URL, and go to our membership and please join. So, Brother Aziz, and all of our directors, what about Delaware? We haven't heard from Delaware lately. She's Miss Swan, are you with us? Sometimes she can be a little. Are you with us? Okay, Miss Swan out of Delaware, one of the directors out of Delaware, are you with us? All right, we're going to now go ask and see if we got another one of our directors who like to put herself on mute. Director Stone out of Texas, are you with us? Okay. All right, but if not, then our listeners, you know, like I said, our mics are open. Anything that we
got
said,
the director.
I'm sorry, go right
we
ahead.
We got our director out in Oklahoma.
Okay, yeah, well, Sister Williams, she's with us. She, you know, Sister Williams know to come right on in whenever she wants to.
Mm-hmm.
So, not unless we have another director out of, that's the only director we have out of Oklahoma is Miss Williams. Not unless there's somebody looking under her. So, but anyway, we're coming to the last 15 minutes of our show. But, you know, normally, brothers and sisters, we do a lot of network marketing on our radio program. And, of course, network marketing, we mean that we look for businesses and we look for businesses to come on to the show. And we give you 3 or 4 minutes to identify your business. And by hearing from you as a consumer or as another business person, I might see where I have the need to do business with you. You might see where you have the need to do business with me. That's what the network marketing is all about, and that's what we normally do. But because of trips that we have made and finding the connections, the connections that are on, because like I said, when we go through our statistics, our radio statistics, and look at where our listeners are coming from, we're just about now in many parts of the world. Last time I looked in, it said that about 70% of our listeners came from the United States, and you had a nice percentage coming from UK and other parts of Europe. And you had the Caribbean, Africa, and even a part of Saudi Arabia. So go right ahead.
Last month, to run that down to the audience, last month when we checked the statistics, these were the countries that the radio show was being listened to in these countries. Of course, the U.S., it's the majority, 72%. Zimbabwe, 23% in Zimbabwe. Canada, 3%. Russia, France, Tanzania, India, Kenya, Mozambique, South Africa, Ghana, Tunisia, Portugal, the UK, and Ireland. All of these countries,
wow,
the radio show is being listened to, and this is based on the statistics. So we have to believe it's correct because we're not making this stuff up, folks. So other people are listening to us, and they are getting ideas. Now, many of these countries are developing countries, and they want to hear what we're saying about how we're going to get it together. And they want to know the information about the climates and the economics. So they are listening to us. And they do appreciate the American intellect and our ability to access data. And some of them do not have that access. So if they're listening to us, we should be coming forth with some solutions. And the solution is going to have to come from all of you all who are listening. And we put our heads together, and we can do this if we work together. But, Brother Bilal, I'm sorry. I just wanted to let you know that these are the countries that were listening to us last month.
Yes, yes.
That's great.
Thank you for breaking down the specifics. I was just breaking down in general what I saw. But, of course, you went in and picked up the direct specifics. You see, brothers and sisters, like I said, channels of communications. The world do not get to hear from African Americans. We don't even get to hear from each other. So what we have put together here is in the last 8 years, we are all surprised of the power that is being an even the success that is going on. Like I said, they're listening to us. They're copying from us. We don't mind. We don't mind at all. Because, again, we have a mission. And that mission is to have it as to where we can continue our lives and we can have our families' lives and our families' lives living in freedom, justice, and the pursuit of their own happiness. That's what African Americans, and that's what we've done for this country. That's what we can do for anywhere we go in the world. And we chose to go back home. Brothers and sisters, like I said, we welcome. Our mics are still open. We welcome your comments. But most of all, we welcome your memberships. We need your memberships if you need to get in touch with us. Our number is 301-234-9090, 202-288-5660. 202-903-7278. So again, if you need to send us an and make certain you get your email, send your email with us so we can send you all of our programs, everything that we are proposing to do, all our upcoming programs. Send your email to nabassc@gmail.com. I repeat, nabassc@gmail.com. And with that said, Sister Aisha, I'm still, you apologize for, to me, but I should be apologizing to you because actually the 8 o'clock show is your show. But as you know, sometimes we get in trouble.
But you know, that's okay. You know, I want to say to the audience, it's important that you make a donation to this Blog Talk Radio because the website is going to be, by the grace of God, it's going to be updated. And technicians and technical people, they charge a lot of money. And I applaud these brothers for all of these years having maintained this. This is my first year on board, right? But we're going to, by the grace of God, post a lot of information, a resource bank on this website that you can go to, especially in the area of climate change. That's my area. And the brothers are going to do it in the financial area. There's some things you all need to know. You need to know how the U.S. government and how the United States is dividing the country into regions. Every state is a part of a certain region. After, and the reason for that, these are FEMA designated regions, and there are 10 of them. And in the future, when the government allocate resources, financial resources, they're going to do it by the regions. And they're going to, and they might be allocating to your state and you not know it because you don't know the region that you're in. But this is the kind of resource we're going to put on the website. Case in point, Region 4, the Southeast region. So when the money comes down for FEMA, they come down to the region, and then the region officer disseminates the funding to the state, and then the state officer disseminates the funding to the city and the county governments, and they in turn to the nonprofits, for-profits, and other organizations, and they use it. So Region 4, for instance, if you live in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, the Carolinas, North and South, Tennessee, you live in Region 4. You need to know that. And the primary hazards that come to Region 4 are tornadoes, hurricanes, and severe storms. Now, this is information that FEMA has given to, has put out there, but you, and it is public information if you know how to access it. The only reason I know how to access it is because I have become a part of the FEMA Alliance, Partnership Alliance. But because I'm in climate business, it's incumbent upon me to do so. But it's even more incumbent upon me to share this information with you, the public, the African-American community, the underserved community, all of those names they now call us. So you will know where you fall, and so you will not be left out. So we're going to put this on the website, but we got to do some updating to the website to be able to have this resource bank. The course, the preparedness course that we started back in the summer, early summer, we're going to continue that this year, even more so, to get everyone prepared for a natural disaster. And we hope that you sign up for the course. The whole concept here is we will train you for you to then go into the community and train others. We want the federal government to pay for your training and to pay for you to have full-time jobs where you're going out in the community training other people in disaster preparedness. This is how we must operate. So it is a collective, and we need your support. We need your voice. We need your voice. And we need you to come on board because, folks, we've got to do something about how we're going to prepare ourselves and survive climate change. And the same storm that will end up on at the White House is the same storm that will end up at my doorstep or your doorstep. And these storms will not discriminate, trust me. So we've got to be prepared, and we want to do that. So are there any last comments from the audience? We have about 6 minutes. Okay, folks. Start speaking up. Let us know who you are. If you don't want to give us your name, give us your comment because your thoughts are very important to us. Because what you say to us, it sends us back to the drawing board or back to the research desk. And mm-hmm. It's important that we come up with the right information every time we speak to you. And that's what Brother Aziz and Brother Bilal do. They're experts. I am not an expert in finances. They are the experts. I'm the expert in climate change. So this is what we want to bring to the table for you.
Good evening,
okay,
so, Aisha.
Yes, yes.
I'm on board.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
I'm on board.
Thank you. I know you are. I know you are.
Indeed. So, but you know, actually, we need, it's imperative. You know, the old folks talk about the handwriting on the wall. It's on the wall. Because we can't love America more than her own. And these people, they are so upset because you had a black president and a black vice president and black this and that and the other, and they're springing up all over the place. And it's just make, and I can't believe that the only I feel Trump is free because they just can't afford to arrest themselves. So we can't love America more than America loves herself. We need to focus on that, and it's time for us to start. You know, we used to talk about back in the day. We said it's time to get hat, sisters and brothers. It's time to get hat. And with that in mind, I'm gonna turn it back over to you guys, y'all. I love you. Have a wonderful week, brother Aziz. Hope, inshallah, hope to see you tomorrow at the. And Sister Aisha, we need to see you. You know, you can offer us some very good advice. We'd like to invite you on. You know, when you have a moment that you can speak with us sometime. So with that in mind, I'd like to thank each and every one of you and let you know how much I love you and appreciate you. And
I'm
making a donation to because this is worthwhile.
Yeah.
Very worthwhile. So you guys have a good evening, and I'm going to be quiet.
Thank you. No, we love you very much, and we love to hear your voice. Thank you.
I just want to say, brothers and sisters, next week's program, I think that's is next week, the third week of the month.
The 18th.
We're going to be doing an estate planning program. Brothers and sisters.
Wonderful.
Planning program is a program that normally, wherever you live, first of all, you probably couldn't get this information. But if you could, you would have to probably go to white attorneys or white CPAs. Whites, CFPs like myself, and because we will be talking about estate planning. We'll start off dealing with a retirement planning. We'll also be going into the probates and what happens when you go through the probate administration, knowing all about your wills, your living trust, your insurances, your retirement incomes, your annuitalizations, and we will also be getting into taxation. So the first of the year, this is where we normally like to give our estate. So next week at this time, you will be able to hear the lawyers and the accountants and the professionals that make up the New Africa Business Association. They will be on next week to talk about this. Until then, this is the New Africa Business Association. And good evening. And really good evening.
Great. Good night.
Well, they can ask along. See everyone.
Imagine.
Mm-hmm.